And thank you for the work that's going on with the lead pastor search committee, nominations committee. I know they're working so hard and they're making tremendous progress. Thank you for the work that you are all doing. And in addition, as you know, I got into a little accident on the freeways. Actually, I got into a pretty big accident on my motorcycle, but thank you for your prayer. Really appreciate your prayer and support and expressions of love from all of you. So today, turning to the sermon, today we're going to conclude the series on Romans called Closing Remarks. This is going to be the last sermon on the book of Romans, last sermon on the sub-series, the Romans Closing Remarks. So today's sermon is entitled Doxology. So let's go to Romans chapter 16, verses 25 to 27. Romans chapter 16, 25 to 27. Now, to him who is able to establish you in accordance with my gospel, the message I proclaim about Jesus Christ, in keeping with the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all the Gentiles might come to the obedience that comes from faith to the only wise God, be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, initially I had planned on preaching my last sermons here at New City, really digging into the details of this passage, because this passage, this doxology, is so rich. It's beautiful, it's powerful, and encapsulate so much of what I want to say or what I want the church to remember as I depart. But as I thought about it, I wanted my last few sermons to be more personal, something that's from the heart rather than more cognitively based. And so I decided to end the Roman series today and then focus next few weeks on something that's more from the heart to you as church. So this passage is a doxology. Doxology is a word that means a glory statement, essentially. It's a glory word, glory statement. And so that's how Paul ends his book, by giving glory to God. If you look at this passage, it's just one sentence. It starts out by saying, now to him, and then he goes on and on and on and on and on. And then he says, to the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. So it's really, to him be the glory through Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's how he ends the letter. What is glory, by the way? You know, we talk about that word a lot. You know, glory, let's give glory to God. What does that mean? You know, I think I've heard some people talk about the glory of the sun, you know, because it's so powerful, it's dazzling, it's beautiful, it's radiant, but it's not manageable. You know, you can burn and die from it if you get too close. The word for glory in the original Hebrew actually means weighty, you know, heavy, heavy. That's what it means. So, you know, actually, prophet Eli was described as glorious, which means he was a very heavy man. It's the same word. But, you know, God is described as glorious, not in a physical sense, but in a sense of his importance, his magnificence, his beauty, and his praiseworthiness, that he is incomparable to any. He is beautiful. He's glorious, you know. That's what he is weighty. And that's why we worship God, right? We gather together to worship. That's why we praise, we sing, because God is glorious. God is incomparably beautiful in his character, in what he has done. So ultimately, when we come to worship, it's not really about us. It's really about God and focusing on God, who he is. And just seeing a glimpse of the beauty of God and saying, you are beautiful, you are glorious. To God be the glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. See, if we turn to God and see how beautiful and glorious he is, it changes something about the way we look at everything else, doesn't it? If we look at ourselves all the time, we can't help but to be discouraged sometimes. We can't help but to be prideful sometimes. We can't help but to go up and down and be tossed by the waves of the world. But if we look at God, there's something beautiful, something stable, something magnificent that grounds us, that focuses us to see what's important, to see what is beautiful. And as we do so, there's something that frees us. Something that frees us. So in this context of the doxology that Paul is writing, what is it that he says is praiseworthy? What is it that he says is the reason for the glory be to God? And in essence, obviously there's so many things to give glory to God for, but in this context, the essence of which he calls us to give glory to God is the gospel. That's what he's been writing about. And so it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. But he talks about it in two different ways. And that's what I want to go into today. One, he talks about the power of the gospel to strengthen us individually. Something about the power of the gospel for us personally, individually. And secondly, the power of the gospel for the community and for the world, or the movement of the gospel for the community and the world. So that's what we're going to talk about today. So first, he says to glorify God, praise God for the power of the gospel to strengthen you individually. If you look at verse 25, it says, now to him who is able to establish you in accordance with my gospel, the message that I proclaim about Jesus Christ. He says my gospel, but he's talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ that he brought to them. So he is the proclaimer. And so it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And here he says this now to him who is able to establish you. Establish you. Isn't that an interesting statement? Who is able to establish you. Some translations, actually, NASB, for example, says who is able to strengthen you. The original word, it just means to make you grounded, make you firm, put you in a good foundation, right? Put you in a place where it's solid, solid ground. I think we have a hymn about that, putting ours, you know, the, yeah, there is a hymn about that. He's saying that the gospel can put you into a firm, unshakable ground. You know, for many of us, you know, our natural thought is that, you know, if our circumstances were right, then things would be okay. You know, if I wasn't sick, if I didn't have a broken ankle, if I had a job, if I had my promotion, if I had that gig, or if I had that part, or if my family was in a better situation, if we were healthier, or we had more money, or this bad thing didn't happen to me, then I'd be okay. You know, I mean, it's only natural because we want things to be okay. If only I wasn't tempted by that all the time. If only if I didn't unravel myself with continued relapses. So we see ourselves slightly out of control, someone, but we also see our circumstances just being out of control. And we feel like only if those things stabilize, only if those things were solved, I'd be okay. I'd be content and satisfied. But you know, I think the reality is things are going to shake. The waves are going to toss all around us. Circumstances can't be controlled. You're going to get into accident. Bad things are going to happen. We're going to get sick. We're not going to make the cut sometimes. Sometimes we don't get that job. Sometimes we are let go of the job. And it's rough. We don't get what we want. But I wonder if there's something solid, something unshakable that could establish us, that could ground us. Even if we're shaking, even if we're being tossed by the waves, even if our circumstances go against us. You know, oftentimes we think to ourselves, you know, God's going to protect me. Right? Bad things ain't going to happen to me because I'm a believer. I have faith in Jesus Christ, and bad things are not going to happen to me. You know, I thought about that after the accident. You know, so what happened was I was going on 101 North or West, whatever that is, right past 405. And then I was in the inside lane going like 40, 50 miles an hour, 11 o'clock on a Saturday morning. And then the car in front of me suddenly stops in the middle of the freeway. I don't know, maybe the car in front of him stopped, so he stopped. And I tried to stop as quickly as possible, but I couldn't. My motorcycle, you know, I just locked my... I tried to pump my brakes, actually, but then my brakes locked, ran into the back of the car in front of me. I went airborne, crashed into the back of the window and the roof of the car with my helmet, and then landed on the side of the next lane. Luckily, nobody ran me over because all the cars stopped. I was that guy who caused the traffic jam for like an hour on 101 and made everybody late. You know, I was taken to a hospital. I busted my ankle in three different places. I busted my hand, got a surgery. When I got to the hospital, there's this lady who took me around to x-ray. She's great, awesome. Had great conversations with her. And she tells me, you know, there were four motorcycle ER cases that came in on Wednesday. You're the only one not in ICU. Yeah, so I go, wow, okay, I'm not going to tell Grace that because I ended up telling her that, but she'll never let me ride again. but apparently my writing career is over. So I was grateful, but I began to think, did God protect me? And I should be thankful. But how about the other writers? Did God not protect them? Well, why don't we kind of, you know, rewind a little bit? Why didn't God protect me from the accident? Right? Why did I get into the accident? I mean, I can in a way, this bad thing happened to me, and I could be disappointed by the bad. You know, I am disappointed by the fact that I got into an accident. I'm a little messed up. I'm getting better. It's cool. But I could also be disappointed by the fact that You know, if I can start thinking, well, God didn't protect me. I could be disappointed by God, right? Or, you know, I can go, I'm grateful that he did protect me a little bit, but he didn't protect the other writers. Well, that sounds kind of weird. So I was thinking about how to process this a little bit. And I think to myself, you know what? I didn't have ABS in my motorcycle. That's why I couldn't stop. Because I was thinking as I was, you know, trying to stop, I go, crap. I was using another word in my head. I should have paid more and got ABS. And brakes, because they stop faster. And the reality is, just for some reason, the car in front of me stopped. For some reason, I stopped. Chain of events happen. You know, I made a bad decision buying a motorcycle without ABS. I wasn't good enough of a rider to be able to control in situations like this. I followed too close to the vehicle in front of me. There are a lot of reasons for the accident. Is God going to protect me from every bad thing? I don't know. Sometimes God does, sometimes he doesn't. I can't figure that one out. There's free agency on the part of people in the world. Some people hurt you. That's why you're hurt. You know, you did something stupid. That's why you're hurt. You don't go blaming God for, you know, stupid decisions that you made or maybe somebody else made. But sometimes things happen. And it feels like, you know, it's the Almighty in control and he wants to whip you. I don't think so. But there is the sovereignty of God and the free will of humanity, and how it plays is a mystery to me. But both are realities. But I do know that even in the pain, God gives me a solid foundation. Even in the injury, even in the roughness of life, even in the difficulties of life, even if something goes bad, even if, you know, you don't have all that you need, even if, you know, the yearnings of your heart are not met, even if you get fire and you feel like there's an earthquake around you, you know, even if your life is being tossed like a wave, the gospel presents to us with something solid. A solid foundation to stand on. Isn't that what Paul is saying? Praise God that he is able to establish us in the gospel. You see, at first, you know, when I was thinking about this sermon, I was thinking, yeah, God's going to make me unshakable. You know, no matter what happened, I'm unshakable because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am a child of God, no matter what. I am embraced by God, no matter what. I am accepted. I am loved. I'm on a solid foundation. I am saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm on a solid foundation. Even if I die, I shall live. I shall be resurrected. I'm on a solid foundation. Like what we sang today, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. But as I looked at myself, honestly, I shake all the time. I fear all the time. I experience anxiety. You know, I'm in a season of life when I'm going through a transition. I love this job. I love what God has done. But I believe that the Spirit of God is calling me to step away. So I'm in obedience, moving away. But it's causing some anxiety, causing some stress. Wondering, what shall I do next? And would I be able to sustain myself financially? Would I be able to do this? Would I be able to find something as meaningful as what this has been to me? I don't know. I shake. I fear. Bad things like this happen to me. It's very frustrating. It's very frustrating to be completely dependent on another human being for the first couple of weeks. Thank God for grace. And thank you, Grace. But it was difficult. And you know, now I see how difficult it is for some of you who have physical ailments and disabilities just to get from one place to another. So the reality is that I'm not all that unshakable. Reality is that I get disappointed. I lament. It's not just looking at myself. Sometimes I look at the world, look at the things that are going on in our community, the people I love, and this neighborhood, and the world, and the tragedy, and the devastation, and the injustice, all that's happening. And I don't feel very satisfied. I feel very discontent. And I feel shaken many times. But I think the promise of the gospel is that Jesus is unshakable. Our foundation is unshakable in your life. Not that I am unshakable. And that's something that conversation with Grace helped me to clarify as I was thinking about this passage. Thank you, Grace. A lot of times I get my insight from her. God is able to establish us. And when we stand on solid ground, even when things are shaking, you know, even as you experience the shakiness of life, you know that you're on solid ground. You know you're good. You know God's got you. Even through the pain, even through the difficulties, you know God's got you. God can turn that situation into something beautiful. See, because even though, you know, that dynamics of free agency and God's sovereignty playing out, and somehow God allowed the bad thing to happen, but one thing I do know is that even in that bad thing, God can make something beautiful out of it. And I believe that. It's not necessarily through preventing the bad thing, but through the bad thing itself. As you walk through it, God shows you the real foundation for your life. And that's why we give him praise. Praise God for the solid foundation that is in Christ Jesus, because this foundation is not based on circumstances. This foundation is not based on whether you're good or bad. This foundation is not based on your performance. It's not based on your works. It is based on his grace and his love for you. And this can never be shaken, even though we be shaken. Amen. Give glory to God. Amen. Second reason to praise God is for what he is doing in community and in the world. So first one was more personal, to strengthen us, to establish us, firm foundation. Second, God's doing something in this world. That's what he says in verse 25 to 26. Paul continues on, and he says, in keeping with the revelation of the mystery, hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophets, known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all the Gentiles might come to the obedience that comes from faith. And so he's basically saying that God has been orchestrating a movement from the beginning. It was hidden before, but is now revealed through the prophetic writings. So, you know, when he's talking about prophetic writings, he's talking about the Old Testament. Initially, I thought, no, these are the New Testament prophetic writings, but the more and more I looked to this, he's talking about the Old Testament. Somehow, in the Old Testament, God's plan was hidden. The mystery of God's plan was hidden. But through Jesus Christ, it has revealed through the prophetic writing. So as we read the Old Testament through the lens of what Jesus has done, now it is revealed to us. And what is this secret that's been hidden for millennium, that has been hidden for long ages past, that has been revealed through Jesus Christ? What is this mystery according to this passage? It is the inclusion of the Gentiles into the movement of the kingdom of God. It says, so that all the Gentiles might come to the obedience that comes from faith. Why is this so revolutionary? Now, remember, the root of our faith, our Christianity, is Judaism. It rose out of Judaism. People had the belief that God's chosen people were Jewish people. Obviously, Jewish people still believe that. But here, Apostle Paul is saying, no, God is in a trajectory. God is in the movement of including people who have been outcast. See, it's not just a movement towards Gentiles. We're mostly Gentiles here. It's not just movement to include the Gentiles. It is God's movement to the margins of society. God's movement to people we thought were outcasts. Remember the sermon that Jesus preached, or the passage that Jesus read right at the beginning of his ministry, right as he was talking. He went to his home synagogue in Nazareth and opened the scrolls of Isaiah. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18 to 19, he read this. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he sat down and said, "In your hearing, this is fulfilled." So Jesus is saying, this is my mission. My mission is towards the poor. My mission is to the prisoners. My mission is to the oppressed. My mission is to the sick. My mission is to those who are being shaken up. My mission is to the margins of society and bringing them together in the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, bringing them together to redeem them and beginning to do something beautiful, to show the year of the Lord's favor, to free people. You know, the year of the Lord's favor, it refers to the Jubilee when it happened every 70 years. Didn't really happen, but theoretically happened after 70 years where everybody was free. All the slaves were free. Everybody was free. The debts were free. It's a symbol of the freedom that God wants to give to all of us and all the people on the margins. Isn't that beautiful? It means that God is on a mission to the margins of this world. God is not. Do you feel like you're in the margins of this world? God is on a mission towards you. God loves you. The whole gospel has been about coming towards you and embracing you. Do you feel like nobody cares? God wants you to know that he cares. He's been running towards you. He died for you. He shed his blood for you, broke his body for you. He came from heaven down to earth for you to embrace you, to redeem you, to give you solid ground in your life. And God in the mission of bringing all people. God in the mission of inclusion, not of exclusion. You know, for some reason, I think fundamentally, the church has become a place of exclusion sometimes. And that I mourn. Because church must be a place of inclusion and embrace. Church must be a place where we not only go out to the margin, but also live in the margin. Do you see that? I never wanted our church to be a church that goes out to the margin, you know, go out to the needy places, go out to Skid Row, and then come back into our little holy huddle. I want us to live there. I want us to embrace. I want us to be Skid Row. I want us to be the valley. I want us to be downtown. I want us to bring people together because God is in a movement of bringing people together and embracing those in the margins. That is why Paul looks at what God is doing, go, praise be to God, the only wise God, be glory forever in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, thank you for the firm foundation. Lord, I don't want to rely on circumstances coming right. Because I know that things are going to shake around me and in me. But Lord, thank you that I am grounded in your love, no matter what. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your love. Even though the world shakes, even though I lose my job, even though financially I'm not sure where I'm going, even though I am sick, even though I'm suffering through this illness, even though I hear voices, oh Lord, even though I'm struggling with this addiction and I've experienced this relapse, even though, I thank you for your love and this solid foundation that is in you, oh Lord. And Lord, and I thank you for the work that you're doing towards the margins, towards inclusions, towards love, towards embrace. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just spend a moment in silence, just giving glory to God. To God be the glory forever in Jesus Christ. Amen. Repeat after me. To God be the glory.
To God be the glory.
In Jesus Christ. Amen.
Jesus Christ.
To God be the glory.
To God be the glory.
In Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.